Welcome to the Big Movement Podcast. If you're ready to create results and make huge strides in your business, finances, personal development, and health, then you're in the right place. Pushing past excuses and powering through procrastination can be a challenge alone. Here, you'll get the support, tools, and knowledge you need to get to the level you desire in your business and life. Let's get started with your host, Byron Ingram.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Big Movement Podcast. And today we have an amazing guest who has a wealth of experience in the direct sales industry, helping people in terms of nutrition and building extra income, which is what we're all about here, is helping people to live their lifestyle by design. So today I want to welcome Dawn Ferrantino to the Big Movement Podcast. So welcome, Dawn.
Oh, thank you so much, Byron. I'm so excited to be on here.
Oh, great. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. My name is Dawn Ferrantino. I am a wife and mom of two teenage boys, and I am in the health and wellness industry. I was an accountant for 27 years, and about 3.5 years ago, I decided to take a look at direct sales and network marketing, and it's been an amazing ride ever since. I have been doing this full-time now for about 1.5 years, almost 2 years, and it is the best decision that I've ever made.
Oh, that's great. Now, going from being an accountant to network marketing, that's quite a switch to get something that's so structured and rigid into network marketing, which is kind of an open playing field to build a business. How did you do that?
It is two entirely different pieces of the spectrum. An accountant, we're introverts, we're very quiet, shy. We like to have an office where we don't need to speak with many people. And going into direct sales was a huge change. So I got involved in direct sales simply by being a product user with the company I'm with. And my story is actually pretty comical, that I knew that there was a business opportunity attached to this product experience, and I wanted nothing to do with it, and actually informed my sponsor that if she asked me to even begin to sell these products, that I was going to block her on Facebook. So it was definitely not something that I went into thinking this would be a career change for me. It was definitely as a product experience.
Okay. So now you mentioned that you had no desire to look at selling, and you even threatened to block the person. What caused this switch? Is that's pretty dramatic to go from one end of the spectrum to the other, Dawn.
It is. And, you know, the funny thing is, I was very, at the time, thought I was busy. I don't like that word anymore. It's productive. But I had two jobs and I had two very active boys. And as much as I was always about creating money, I worked many jobs. There was times I had four jobs at one time. It was also about time. And I didn't think I had the time to do this. So when the products began to create amazing results and it was becoming transformational on the outside and people were asking and asking and asking what I was doing, I continue to just forward her information to them. Some people were open, most were not. So they did not want to call a woman that they didn't know. They didn't want to talk to somebody and express their health concerns and conditions with somebody that they didn't know who she was. So I decided, as an accountant, let me take a look at the comp plan. If it makes sense, if I can fit this in the pockets of my life, I'll do it. Never expecting it to go where it did. I just simply said, I'll help a few friends and family and make a few extra dollars in the interim. And you know what? It'll be great if I can get products paid for. And that was really all I was looking for at the time. And it just continued to grow.
Okay. So you started with just getting your products paid for. What was that experience like? Just going from your paying, you know, the money every single month, just to get to that level. As a lot of people, when you're thinking about who are getting started in network marketing, they're having trouble doing at least that one thing. How did you do it?
You know, it's funny because when I first got started in this, anything I do, I really put in 150%. So at the beginning, I treated this sort of like a job. So even though it was part-time, it was in the pockets of my life, it was 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, I treated it like a job where I had an agenda, I knew what had to get done by the end of the day, didn't have somebody to report to, but I still wanted to make sure that I was being successful and producing what I needed to produce in order to move on to the next day. So it was really just about, and I knew what my goal was to get my products paid for. I knew what that required, how many people, I knew exactly what it was, and I just did it. And I did it over and then over and then over and then over again. So it was pretty simple for me to get these products paid for quickly because I not only followed a great system that has been implemented and taught to me by my amazing sponsor, but because of my drive, determination, and organization and commitment to following the system. It's all about consistency.
Oh, definitely. Consistency is the key. And you've said something there, which I think people need to understand when you're going into any business, not just something that's in direct sales or network marketing, is you have to treat it this with the same mindset as a job, that there's certain things that you have to accomplish, because if you didn't accomplish certain things, if you're working for somebody, you would be out of a job.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this business is a business. It's actually not a job, and I treat it more like a business now, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute, but I never treated it like a hobby. So I think that that's really important for people to understand is, you know, if you treat it like a hobby, you'll get paid like a hobby. If you treat it like a business, you'll get paid like a business. So when I began to treat this more like a business versus a job, I actually, and I teach my team this as well, is I pretended that I spent $1 million on my business. It did not cost me $1 million to get started in network marketing, so don't think that it did. But I treated it that way because even though it may have cost me, you know, $600 or whatever the fee or the expense was for my products, if I treated it like it was only a $600 business, I would be paid like it was a $600 business. So the mindset that I went in with is I spent all this money on my business and I need to make it back. So by doing that, I just simply began the mindset change of treating this not only like a job, but really treating it like a business. And what would happen if I didn't open the door to my brick and mortar shop one day? What would happen if I didn't show up for my Domino pizza business one day? You know, what would happen if I just decided that I was going to stay in bed and not open up my franchise one day? I wouldn't be paid. I'd be losing customers right and left. So I really did jump into this full force as if it was a business from day one.
And that in itself is critical because people don't want to take what they're doing seriously. And they're wondering, why are they getting hobby-like results? So that's incredible that you've done that.
Thank you. And they will get hobby-like results treating it like a hobby.
Oh, totally. So when you look back on everything you've done and you've made that transition, what was that true big aha moment in terms of when you're getting it started that you could really be able to grow it to the point where you could do this full time? Because some people, they just think like, oh, I can just use it to make a couple extra $100 or a little bit like that. But some people don't think that you can make a full-time income and then some in network marketing. What was that moment for you?
The definite aha moment was January of 2014. I had already been doing this business. I had already surpassed my full-time income by over $30,000. I was making incredible six-figure income on a part-time basis, but the aha moment still wasn't there. It was just that I was just successful in what I was doing. And I think the aha moment was I was at a company convention and they had all these people standing on stage and from all different backgrounds. And it just, I was sitting in the front row. My sponsor invited me to sit in the front row with her. She was offered a front row seat for her success in the company. And I was all by myself. I had no team that was with me. And I just sat in that seat and I watched and I looked at all these people up on stage going, wow, like their lives are so different. Like mom staying home. I missed all my kids first when they were young. I was back at work at 6 weeks, you know, when they were born, and my first son was 6 weeks early. So I went back to work before his original due date. And then I see dads not working their second jobs. And then I see like moms sending their kids to college with no loans. And I said, this is so much bigger than what I thought it was. And the aha moment was, well, I am no different than them. There is nothing special about any one of those people on stage except their drive, passion, determination, and vision. So I became a visionary. And I think that that was the piece that was missing for so long in my business, even though it was so successful quickly, is the vision of really where am I going and what's the path. And when I did that, the momentum and the quantum leaps just kept happening.
So what was your vision after that moment?
The vision was I was not retired yet. So I was making more money in my part-time job than my full-time job, but I was insecure, I guess might be the right word, or what if it doesn't work? Because the vision wasn't as big as it is now back then. So I never left my full-time job. So the vision was I definitely require and I deserve to be home. and bringing my husband home. He was miserable at his job for so long. He was in the same industry for 30 years, and it's a cutthroat industry. My kids going to college, you know, free of debt. My kids being able to be a part of this amazing momentum and not have to worry about getting a job after college. I mean, I definitely encourage college. I'm making them both go. But so many of these young kids get out of college and they're not only in such debt, but then they can't get a job. Right. And all they're doing is, you know, just pushing their loan out even further to pay off. And that's not going to be my kids' life. Like, they're going to get out of college and they're going to have a business model and a plan, and they're going to be able to live a life that's comfortable and helping other moms be able to stay home. Like, my biggest mission, and it's actually a mission statement of mine, is to free all moms from the corporate world, because they're supposed to be the ones home raising their kids. They're supposed to be the ones that see their first walks and hear their first words and watch them, you know, for the first time stand up. That's their job. And we miss all that. So my vision and my why became very, very big. And it was to empower not only moms and dads as well, but we got to get these moms home. They need to get out of corporate America and raise their own kids.
Oh, that's great. And that in itself is extremely powerful to do. If you, when you start making something about someone other than yourself, because the more people that you help get what they want in life, ultimately you're going to do get the things that you want out of life.
Without a doubt. And this business is never, ever about me. It's never about the, it's always about the person we bring in. So even as people begin to do this business opportunity with me, we teach them the same thing. At the beginning, you may think it's about you, and maybe it is at first. Like, when I wanted my products paid for, oh, it was about me. I wanted my products paid for. And, you know, it was a very small goal. Of course, I was very willing, open, and coached every person I brought in. I helped them immensely. But I didn't see, again, the bigger picture. And the more people you help, of course, the more you help yourself. But also, the more money you make, the more people you can also help. It's all about donating too, and really creating, you know, a wall of financial help around not just you, but the people that you love. It's incredible watching that happen too.
Oh, now that's incredible. When you can have that level of reward by seeing people's success based on the actions of how you help them.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So now when you look at the business that you chose, out of all the choices in network marketing, because there's quite a few, why did you choose this one as opposed to one of the others?
Well, once again, because I came on as a product user, it was really the network. It's the only network marketing experience that I've ever had and the only company that was ever introduced to me. So I chose this specific company because my girlfriend, who is my sponsor, I've known my whole life. So I was comfortable going to her for my own health goals, my own struggles, my own transformation. So going to her first as a product user is what got me in the door. The business side just happened as people continued to ask. So I wasn't looking for a network marketing experience. I wasn't looking for a company. I wasn't looking for a home. I really just fell in love with the products is what it boiled down to.
Okay. You said something there that I want to explore a little bit, that it's the only company that you're ever introduced to. Did you ever have any experiences in terms of products that people talk to you about from other companies prior to that?
Not really, no. I really wasn't introduced to any other products or any of the other health and wellness companies that are out there. And there are, you know, there are a lot. This was the first one that I saw, and it was the, and I actually had heard about this one prior. So I can back up for a second that yes, I did, but it was the same company. So okay. I was introduced to this company once before, but I was also introduced to this company once before as a business opportunity. And I was not interested in the business opportunity. So I never pursued or looked at the products because this person only talked to me about the business. Okay. When I decided to look at the products, I reached out to somebody that I had known my whole life rather than a stranger that just happened to approach me on a business opportunity.
Right. And the key takeaway from that is so many times people just think that everybody around them has heard of the products they're offering. Imagine what your sponsor's life would be like if they didn't tell you about it right now.
She's changed my life forever. And if she hadn't introduced this to me, I mean, she'd be selfish. because we have a gift. I mean, anybody that's doing anything they believe in has a gift. And if you're not sharing it with other people, you're being selfish. Because she has drastically changed my life. And I know I've changed thousands of lives as well now. And of course, her life will never be the same either. All because we not only were open, but because we opened our mouths as well.
Right, exactly. And because you're in business with yourself, one of the things that sometimes people have a hard time determining is who's that ideal customer? Who's the person that they really should be working with? Who do you like working with in your business?
I really do like working with everyone. I mean, I love working for the business side. I love working with moms because I can relate to them. So, you know, I mean, when I went on these products, I had a lot of issues. So that's why I can kind of relate to everybody. I had weight issues. I had health issues. I had energy issues. I had financial issues. So I have I can really relate to so many people because I've been in so many of their shoes. I don't really necessarily have a specific ideal target person. It's not a specific avatar I have to work with. I've worked with 20-year-olds. I've coached a 21-year-old man who lost over 100 pounds and a 50-something-year-old woman who lost over 100 pounds. I have personal trainers. It doesn't matter. As long as they're passionate about what we do, they believe in it, they're health conscious on the business side, I'll link arms with them. They have to be committed, motivated, and really, the key again is consistency, knowing what's required to do this business. And on the product side, I have a solution. So why wouldn't I help everybody? So no, I don't discriminate against anyone.
Oh, that's great. Now, you said earlier that you're an introvert, like, or at least a lot of accountants are. Was that, or was something else, one of the hardest things that you had to overcome to create the success that you're having right now?
Oh, it was definitely the introvert. I mean, I was social to the degree that, I mean, I was very active with my community, with my kids' school, with sports affiliation. So I had a lot of socialization with people I know. I had always been like a leader or a manager or some kind of executive or whatever at my companies that I worked at. So I always had a team underneath me. So I was always an authoritative figure per se, but it was not about sales. So I think the word sales, because direct selling is sales. And we could say all day long, we're sharing, we're selling. But we sell every day. So if we went to a great restaurant and I told you to go there because the food today was absolutely amazing and you went, I just sold that restaurant to you. Right. So it was the whole mindset. So even though I was an introvert and I didn't really like talking to people, it was more the selling or the convincing. I never wanted to feel that people were pressured because I had good friends or I had family or I had a lot of connections and network. I didn't want people ever saying, oh, I have to buy from her because otherwise she may not talk to me anymore. So that was really what bothered me, is people's perception of what they were going to think.
Okay. And people's perception is so critical, because sometimes we think that if they see us in a different way, they're going to want to run the other direction as soon as they see us come. Like, oh no, this person's coming. I don't want to be pitched at.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really how I felt. And when I decided to do this, and people joined me, some didn't, some blocked me on Facebook. I'm definitely not going to lie about it, but my mindset and my personal development growth, and obviously, you know that because you've seen me, you know what I'm doing lately. And I mean, just all the personal development that I do has allowed me to say it's okay, because they just weren't meant to be a part of what I'm doing right now. And there's other people who I can help. So those that chose to walk away were meant to walk away.
Right, exactly. And so many times as business owners and entrepreneurs, people have a hard time with realizing that some people are simply going to say no. And it can be for a variety of reasons. For some, in your case, it might be that they just don't want to look at themselves in the mirror and address that they have a problem. Other people, they might say no because they're already using a product from Sports and they're perfectly happy with it. And now, granted, there's just some people that, well, no, they just go through life saying no to everybody, but they have a different set of issues.
So it, right.
Yeah. You have to, it's part of the process.
It's true. And you just have to remember that when they say no, it also could just mean not now. But right. When they say no, you know, it's not their time. When I was approached by this specific person for this business opportunity, it was about a year before I reached out, before I actually committed. It was about 5 months before I reached out to my girlfriend. But even when I reached out to her, it took me 7 months to commit. it was not something I jumped right into. It still was, I don't know, maybe it won't work. What if it doesn't? You know, it's better for them, not for me. You know, it was all the self-doubt that this would ever even work for the product. So when they say no, it's just, I always look at it as not now. And for every no, I have five people that's lives I have to go change. So I can't dwell on it or worry about it. It's perfectly okay. And we respect the decision and we just move on.
That's great. Now, why do you say that for every no, there's five people's lives out there waiting for you to change?
Because that's the mindset that I put in, because I had a lot of attachment to the outcome when I first started this business, because I know what I had. Like, I knew the experience I went through. I knew the products that I had. I knew how I could drastically change somebody's life. And when people told me no, it really upset me, especially for those that I knew drastically really needed these products in them. So there was such an attachment, and I would really, you know, sit on it, and I'd call them and I'd message them again. And I'd say, you know, let's just have one more conversation. But what about? And when I stopped doing that, I realized that there's a whole world out there of people that want this, that need a change. And I will be honest, and I really teach my team this as well. I say this constantly on my calls. Like, there are people that go to bed at night that pray for us. And I can't find them if I'm dwelling on the people that said no. So I have to really go find those people that are praying for me to come into their life.
And that there is a golden nugget, because there's so many people who are looking for help. Mm-hmm. They just don't know where to turn. And you have to focus your energy on the people that do want the help, not the ones who have a closed mind and they don't want any type of help to transform their lives.
So true. And it doesn't mean that they won't come back. It's just not their time.
Right. Exactly. People have to travel the individual journey, and they'll let you know when they're ready to take a step forward. You can't push them, you know, all the way through a race. As much as we'd want you to say, okay, you're going to run this marathon, and you're behind them, pushing them the whole way, you would never get to the finish line. You would be exhausted after the first couple hundred feet.
Well, you would be exhausted, but then there could be possible resentment. There could be possible anger. So you just really have to learn how to let go.
Right.
And just, you know, let be. Whatever's meant to be is going to be. And just learn to let go.
Right. Exactly. So now, if you could turn back the clock to any point in time, what would you do differently knowing what you know now?
Well, definitely with the attachment. If I could go back, I would definitely have let go of people a lot quicker, not as a negative, but just to really bless and release, because it did cause sometimes even controversy with you, how you put your hands up before saying, oh no, here she comes, because I really was one of them that said, but you don't understand, you have to try this, you don't understand it. And I think blessing and releasing quicker would have been able to put me out there to help change more lives quicker.
Okay. And that's a valuable thing to be able to do. It you have to know when to let someone go, and because you're wasting energy trying to help that person if they don't want to be helped.
Yeah. And both products and the business, I had a big attachment to the outcome with people that came into my business too. I would want it more than them. I would see more in them than they saw in themselves, and sometimes push and push and push to say you can, when really they're not there. And it's okay. Like, you just, it's really okay if they're not there. And the ones that deserve to be in your business, the universe will bring them to you. The attraction will happen. So that was the biggest part, and the biggest thing I had to learn how to do. And I would change that in a heartbeat if I got started today, knowing to let go much quicker.
Oh, that's great. And when you think about letting people go, in all of the actions that have taken you to this point in your career, in your business, what's one book that you recommend to your team members that has a profound effect on how they need to look at their business going forward?
Well, I have so many. I actually have a library of books. I think my favorite book in the world is Think and Grow Rich. It's just such a powerful book. It goes over pretty much everything in regards to not just your business, but just your finances, your investments, just in general, you know, what it is to be a business owner. And it's a difficult read for somebody that doesn't like to read at first. So that's why I actually do recommend it, because it's something that you should read once. And then when you finish it, you should read it again. And then you should read it again. It should never leave your library. But I also love, for network marketing, Eric Worre's book, GoPro. It's an incredible book. So GoPro should just be a requirement, like a mandatory requirement by every network marketing company to make sure that their new associates or consultants or whatever the title is that people have in their businesses read that book. And then I just also love Icebreakers by Big Al Schreiter. Icebreakers is exactly as the title is what it is. It's a whole book of icebreakers on how to break the ice when talking to people. So that's another great book also.
Oh, that's excellent. And people, in terms of icebreakers, it's a tool that so many people need, because you think about how many times you go to a networking event and there's an awkward moment when someone wants to introduce themselves, but they have no idea what they should say.
Exactly. And icebreakers is not just for network marketing. I mean, icebreakers is, once again, as it says, it's icebreakers. So no matter what your business is that you're doing, you know, any entrepreneur, I mean, you could own your own landscaping business. You're an entrepreneur. It's really about breaking the ice, because how are you going to get that business if you don't go out there, network, connect, create relationships, and break the ice?
Right. Exactly. Now, in that regard, in terms of breaking the ice and learning from books like Think and Grow Rich, do you have a favorite quote that you live by that you share with people?
Actually, I do. I'm actually going to pull it up only because it's a little long, and I will read it to you. Just give me a second. It's the quote I love. I post it periodically, actually, on my Facebook as well. And let's see, I'm going to grab it for you real quick. Well, the one quote that somebody in my organization had taught us a long time ago was, the only way to fail is to quit. And I really do firmly believe that that honestly is the only way to fail, is to quit in this business. I would say that, you know, that is definitely the biggest quote that I can give is the only way to fail is to quit. I'm having an issue trying to pull up my OneDrive. So I would definitely leave people with that one, because no matter, once again, what your business is, or whether you're in network marketing or just an entrepreneur, if you quit, you're done. So there are so many people that right before they're ready to have a breakthrough, or right before they're ready to have a quantum leap, or right before they're ready to get their first yes, maybe it's that they've had 50 no's, right before they're ready to get that, they quit. So the only way to fail in this business or in any business is to quit. So I think that that's the safest quote that I would say to leave everybody with.
And that's a great one, because literally it's the only way to fail is to just give up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in terms of, you've had all the success in your business with growing it, is there a tool that you like to use which has made your life a lot easier to just scaling your business up?
We have a lot of videos with our company. So I love videos. I love sharing our videos from our company. So that is definitely a tool that I use, is the company's videos. I also have it's called Schedule Once. It's a way that people can book appointments with me. So I like that tool. I actually have it on my Facebook. I have it on my social media accounts. I have it at the end of my emails. So if somebody wants to book an appointment for a consultation with me, it's just easy for them. They don't have to try to track me down, or does this time work? No. How about this time? That doesn't work for me. Well, what about this one? So in regards to organization and being able to serve as many people as I can, that online calendar actually was one of the best tools or resources that I use.
Oh, that's excellent. And anytime you can leverage online scheduling, it's a powerful way just to take that burden off. As you said, it's a headache if people are going back and forth constantly trying to figure out what times work, versus just pull up your calendars and look at them online. You'll know right away when you can be able to create a meeting.
Absolutely, definitely.
And one final thought, it's a question I like to ask every guest, is what is one action people can do today in their business? It doesn't matter if they're in network marketing or they have a traditional brick and mortar type business. What's one action they can do to help them grow?
The first action is to make a decision. So they have to make a decision to commit. And then the second action I would say is becoming organized, creating pockets of time or a planner of what they're going to do, and plan it for the week, the month, even the year. So if you know that you have something coming up in March of 2016, it should be on your calendar. If you know that you have something coming up on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning, it should be on your calendar. So not waiting until the day of. So I think the biggest thing that can help everybody in their business is becoming organized and using a planner. But you have to make the decision and commit first.
Right, totally. And being organized is one of the most powerful things. So you can avoid yourself from missing appointments to just feel like you run out of time, because you can be more efficient with your days. We all have the same 24 hours. It's just, how do we allocate our actions to make the most use of it?
Without a doubt. Yes, absolutely. And that was the biggest thing that I actually helped train on as well, is learning how to use those little pockets of time, because there's so much wasted time. I mean, how many people watch TV? You could waste 20 years watching TV over a 50-year span. So it's just, you got to figure out where your wasted time is and utilize your time better.
Exactly. And when you think of TV, there is a study, I believe it was done in 2009 by Nielsen, that at that point, the average American watched 36 and a half hours of TV per week. And when you hear people who say that they don't have time, well, if you're like the average person, shut off the TV. You suddenly have the amount of time that most people would say would work at a standard 9-to-5 job available to you.
Right. And when you take those hours, because I did, I used this study actually for a training I did, and you take those hours and you multiply it by 52 weeks, and then you multiply it by even 25 years, you've wasted a lot of years of your life.
Right. Exactly. I tell people constantly, watching the reality TV shows and things like that, it doesn't help you build your dream. Why spend your time watching someone else live their dream when you should be focusing on building yours?
Without a doubt. And they're not paying you. So right. Even the radio stations in the car, I mean, it's nice sometimes to have some music or binaural beats or whatever coming through, but you know, your radio station's not paying you. So, you know, unless it's motivational, unless it's personal development, unless it's, you know, something that's going to help you grow. I mean, I just listen to CDs all day long in my car, motivational CDs, podcasts, anything that's going to help me become a better person for me and my business.
And that is a great tip to wind things up with, is use that time that you're in your car, that net time that you have to be present there. You can't exactly just drive and not be present, but instead of listening to the radio and things that are not helping you, use that time to grow, because we all have to drive somewhere. Why listen to that your favorite song when you can educate yourself and make a difference? Because the people who are having the most success, they look for every opportunity in their life where they can expand their knowledge and grow.
Absolutely.
Well, Dawn, I want to thank you for coming on today. And how can people reach out to you and be able to connect with you and ultimately learn more from you?
Absolutely. So they can reach me on Facebook. They can always reach me there. My last name is spelled it's Dawn, D-A-W-N, F as in Frank, E-R-R-E-N-T-I-N-O. Or they can email me. It's the same spelling, Dawn Ferrantino, D-A-W-N, F as in Frank, E-R-R-E-N-T-I-N-O, 07@gmail.com. And once they email me, I would send them an email back with that link to my online calendar, and they can book an appointment anytime.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you today for being on, and I hope everyone listening has an amazing day.
Thank you so much for the honor of being on.
Thanks for listening to the Big Movement Podcast today. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now that you've surely been inspired to take your entrepreneurial career and business to the next level, you can stop by the website and get more. And if you're ready to boost your business brand, be sure to grab your free report, 7 Easy Steps to Build Your Brand Today.